Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, right now, we are on the cusp of watching the Carolina Panthers go 3-0. The last time they started 3-0, they went to the Super Bowl. Can you imagine? I got to watch Sam Darnold play in the Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
Here in Los Angeles.
Oh, my
and
God.
Covering the game all during the lead-up.
No,
yeah,
I'd leave.
Yeah, think about that.
No, I'd leave. I'd say, I'm taking vacation. But it's the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, I'm taking vacation. I got to sit here and watch Sam Darnold play in the Super Bowl. Carolina leads Houston 17-9. They have third and goal right now on the one-yard line. There are 4 minutes left to go in this game. The Texans, look, they gave it a fight for the first half, but really they have had zero offense in the second half. They've not been able to really do anything, and the Panthers have done just enough. The Houston has killed them with a couple of big mistakes, a bad pass interference penalty, a bad late hit penalty. Both helped lead to scores for the Panthers, and right now they are on the cusp of adding to this lead. With a touchdown here again. They're facing third and goal with just over 4 minutes left to go. But this is going to be a 3-0 Panther team, Mike Harmon. And there's Darnold. He's in the end zone for his second touchdown run of the game.
That guy's running out there. He's got no helmet on.
Oh, my goodness.
He's helmetless.
Oh, boy. Sam Darnold, another touchdown.
The first two downs, though, on this possession right at the goal line, he flips the ball out to Chuba Hubbard, and he just drops it. Right, he has him wide open in the flat, so he gets benched. Second down, it was one of those, like a stage diving maneuver at a concert where the guy tries to go up and under, and there's nobody underneath him. So he almost dangerously lands on his neck. One of those kind of deals. And then Darnold, with the push, gets into the end zone, 4:07 remaining, and all of a sudden Carolina bettors are feeling pretty good. And if you've got the over-under, it was at like 33.5 in game. So all of a sudden we got a problem for some of you.
Yeah, you know, it was a weird touchdown to give him because his momentum was stopped and he wasn't going anywhere. And when the Panthers came and pushed behind him, they found a little bit of room to get him in the end zone. So as kind of a gift call by the officials because they could have stopped that play at any time because he had lost momentum. He had actually lost half a yard. He wasn't then they had a push. He really wasn't going anywhere, but he wasn't down. So officials let the play go, and Darnold eventually falls into the end zone for a touchdown. His second touchdown run of the night, and to go along with 300 yards passing, it's going to be, Sam Darnold, look how great he is. Jason, your Jets stink. First of all, tell me something I don't know. Secondly, again, Sam Darnold is just a guy, all right? The Panthers are 3-0, and that's great, right? You can't do anything but play who is on the schedule against you.
That's right.
But two of the three teams you have beaten are two of the three or four worst teams in the NFL. Right. By the time the end of the season comes, the Jets may only be like the 30th best team in the NFL. Right now, they're the 32nd best team in the NFL. I mean, they may move up a spot or two, but you're talking about two teams you beat in the Jets and the Texans who are playing tonight with a first time quarterback making his first start that wasn't even ready to play. I mean, really, let's understand who you've beaten to get to 3-0. Again, it's great. You should be 3-0. But, you know, listen, yes, Darnold's had a couple of 300 yard games, didn't have any with the Jets last year. He's on a better team, so he's playing a little bit better. But let's realize a couple of these wins, anybody would love to have the beginning early season schedule that the Carolina Panthers have.
Buddy, you buried it in all your Sam Darnold hate. You can only beat who's on the schedule.
Yeah.
And the hype machines will take off from there. And yes, you could have it and you know throw a little bit of sand on it, tamp it down a bit, right? You don't want it to burn too hot. I get it. One of the things that I think is cool, he's got 888 passing yards through three games. 888 is a really lucky number. Now, that was my higher number at Yahoo. It didn't make me millions, so I really don't know what the luck I got was. These years later, here I am yelling with you on Fox Sports Radio. Maybe it was the long play, and I still don't have my riches. We'll have to remedy that. But we're looking at a guy who's been efficient. Does he have to be world-beating? No. If that defense shows up, although they're missing a couple of spots now. I mean, we got the update. Frostburg texting us. Reminder, J.C. Horn goes out with a foot injury. And then they had Justin Burris, he went out with a groin injury. So that's two members of your secondary. So against the team, you know, that has more than one wide receiver, because let's face it, right now, Houston, it's just cover Brandon Cooks. That's all you need to do.
True. True. Sometimes it's easier said than done, though. That's the one thing that's more difficult to do. It's easier said than done. Look, I don't want to come across here and think like I'm rooting against Sam Darnold. I want him to fail. No. Like I said in the beginning of the show, Sam Darnold, I rooted for him for a long time. He's a good guy. He was able to navigate New York well enough, and he was a great teammate, and everybody liked him. But really, I mean, this is not – he's shown up, and he's Patrick Mahomes. But just the giddiness of the storyline of saying, oh, now he's away from the Jets. The Jets, they suck. Look how great – it's getting amped up because of that. Darnold's had a nice start. I'm excited if I'm the Panthers. I'd be a little bit worried with no Christian McCaffrey. But let's be honest, the teams they've beaten, they should have beaten. You know, the Saints was a bit of a surprise, the way they boat raced the Packers – week one, but then we got a little bit of a reconnect back to earth in week two for New Orleans. So, okay. But really, I mean, the Jets and the Texans, I mean, the Jets, the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Falcons, they're the worst four teams in the NFL, and it's not even close. They're absolutely awful. And these are two of the wins.
I have to ask the obvious question, though. Who hurt you? Why can't you be happy for him?
I just said I was happy. I just said
no,
like,
no,
I spent
no.
Like
you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You
Sam
said
Darnold.
You were happy for him, and then all you did was take an axe or a sledgehammer. Like you were Kathy Bates in Misery, and you decided to hobble the poor son of a gun. That's what you just did verbally.
No. I said everything.
America, you heard it.
At Swollen Dome.
How about a Fresca? You hobbled
no,
it.
No, that's what you did.
You went, oh, Mr. Man, I love your work. You're doing so well. You got Christian McCaffrey and you got DJ Moore and it's all good. And whack, you're not going anywhere. This is who you are, and this is who you'll stay.
Nah, it's what was to be expected. All right, you're supposed to win these games. If you see the beginning of the season, you see a schedule that says Jets at home, and then Saints, and then Thursday night Texans, and you know the Texans are playing with a first-time quarterback. You're saying that's at least 2-1, maybe 3-0 if we get lucky and beat the Saints. Oh, but this is Kramer going
to the dojo, right? Bugs. And he's beating up on the kids, and they say, Kramer, what the hell are you doing? And he looks and he pauses and he says, I'm dominating. That's all that matters. You beat who's on the schedule. You beat who's in the classroom.
Yeah,
and now you beat up on poor Davis Mills.
I mean, this is you look at a schedule and go, man, outside of the 49ers, who have had maybe the easiest schedule run the beginning of the season. Hey, we don't have to start Trey Lance. We can just keep trotting out Jimmy Garoppolo these first 2 weeks. This is about as advantageous as you could be if you're the Carolina Panthers. Two of the wins. These teams are just awful. All right, and we have one team starting a new quarterback for the very first time, and then we have another team that's starting a new quarterback for the very first time who's not even a highly touted guy. That was a third-round pick. Yeah, you're supposed to win these games. You're supposed to play well.
But he's smart. He's out of Stanford.
Oh, man, yeah. He's the next smart guy. You know, he did go to Stanford, so he's very, very smart.
No, but you leave the stork alone.
Just be realistic. Just be realistic with me on Sam Darnold. It's good, but the hype is out of control just because it's a story of him getting away from the Jets. You know how many guys have gotten away from the Jets and been good? Everybody but Le'Veon Bell. That's the list. Everybody but Le'Veon Bell has gone someplace and been good. That's everybody. So just
wait, we got this from Adam on Twitter, though. I don't get the Sam Darnold hate from How About a Fresca. I thought he liked him. He chanted his name enough times. And it's a picture of an eagle rocking back and forth, and it just says, "You jelly?"
Now Fabiano's in on this going, "Oh, you hate this? Hashtag Jets." I mean, of course. I knew it. I said at the end of the show last night, what did I say? We're going to spend a long time tomorrow night talking about Sam Darnold being 3-0. And what does this mean? And look how bad. I don't need you. It's what is the old saying? I don't need you to tell me how deep the ocean is. I know the ocean is deep. By you telling me the Jets suck doesn't, because I know the Jets suck. I know when guys leave, they're better. You're telling me things I don't know. Have new information. Come to me with something new. Yes, when guys leave the Jets, they get better. Suddenly things get better. That's sort of how it goes. Again,
wait, here's another great joke.
Everybody but Le'Veon Bell. Literally every single player but Le'Veon Bell has gotten better.
Well, but go through all the target distribution. He won't pass to Robbie Anderson because it reminds him of his time with the Jets. He's got one catch for 8 yards.
Who sent that one to us? That's a good one.
That was Mike Clay at Mike Clay NFL.
Oh, that's a good one. No, I can't throw to Robbie, man. There's too many bad memories. I'm sorry. But we were great together. I was a 1,000-yard receiver with you. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't.
He had that 59-yard touchdown reception, and that's it. That's as good as it gets, man.
Well, I got to throw to you because the defensive back forgot to cover you, and you're open by 15 yards. I guess I have to throw it here. Okay, that's fine. I don't want anything. I don't want to hear the word Jet. I don't want to hear any. I don't want anybody named Jet. I don't want to hear a song, the big song by Jet. I don't want to hear anything. I have nothing with Jet in it. I
no
want
Benny
nothing
and the
there.
Jets.
No.
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 None of the remakes of any of the great Broadway plays of all time.
No.
You know, when you're a Jet, you can't have any of that because that's coming.
No.
Spielberg made it. It's coming. They won't see that either.
Yeah, I didn't. Was there really a big outcry of people saying, "You know what I really want to see? I want to see him remake West Side Story." Was there
a really big cry out for that? Is there going to be a dinosaur in there?
Oh, sure. The dinosaur eats everybody. The thing is, the Sharks and the Jets, it's actual Sharks against actual jet airplanes. So that's why it's so exciting.
Ziegler. Hey, Rita Moreno is still in there. So good. Yeah. That's good.
Mm. But that would be the Spielberg version of it. If you had actual sharks and actual jet plane, like jet planes like shooting at the sharks, and maybe the sharks can shoot at the airplanes too, or they can leap out and eat the airplanes, kind of a little bit of a Sharknado.
Straight out of Sharknado.
That might work, huh? I think
Richard Dreyfuss might be ready to be Hooper again.
Let's think of Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. 2 minutes left in the game, and the Panthers are going to go to 3-0 here after beating the Texans right now. It is 24-9. Panthers have the football, and not only will they win, but it looks like they will cover as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
J-E-T-E, Jet!
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So it is a final. Carolina Panthers move to 3-0. They have the best record in the NFL. Sam Darnold has already won more games this year with the Panthers than he won in 3 years with the Jets. Okay, that's not true, but it seems true. You would think, oh, sure, I could see that.
Wow.
Now, look, let's have a different kind of comp, because I told you that, look, Sam Darnold's just a guy. He's playing well enough. They played two of the worst teams in the NFL, but they did win these games. When you want to break down the I don't want to say the evolution of a quarterback. When you want to break down what makes a quarterback good and what makes a quarterback not good, is that the one thing that it has in common, quarterback has in common with every other position, is that you need to be put in a position to succeed, right? That's what it is. You want to be drafted by a team that knows what they're doing, that is going to be able to put you in a position to do well and not, hey, we're kind of figuring our crap out, so I don't know if the teaching is going to be as great as it is. I don't know if the learning on the job is going to be as smooth as it could be. You know, we got some problems going on over here. And look, that is a big part of the reason of development of a quarterback. Would Sam Darnold be a different guy if he didn't have Adam Gase? 100%. All right, Adam Gase is one of the worst head coaches of the last 20 years in the NFL. Right? He didn't do anything good. Nothing good came out of 2 years with the Jets. He was an offensive genius, and his team finished routinely in the bottom five of the NFL in every offensive category. They didn't give Sam Darnold any kind of weapons, right? The one guy he had any kind of chemistry with was Robbie Anderson, who said, hey, I want $10 million a year. The Jets said, we don't want that, and they let him go. That's it. They signed Le'Veon Bell, who was done. All right? They never gave Darnold anything. The offensive line was bad. The defense was bad. Adam Gase is a horrible coach. Horrible coach. And there's a reason why he's not coaching now. And whenever he does make his way back into football, it's going to be as some random wide receiver coach or assistant quality control, something where there's not really any responsibility because he took the Jets and just ran them into the ground. Now, he also didn't get a lot of help around there, but Sam Darnold was never in a position to succeed with the Jets. All right, the first head coach, they fired him. Brought a new head coach. Wasn't any good for 2 years. They fired him. Darnold had different systems. The first time they brought him into the league, the guy who was his offensive coordinator hadn't been in the league in about a decade, and he hasn't worked in the game since that 1 year. Okay, the Jeremy Bates was retired. The Jets said, come in and be our offensive coordinator. Guy hadn't been in the NFL in almost 10 years. And that's the guy? That's the guy you say, you can be our OC? And he was it for 1 year, and then they said, okay, you know what, this didn't work, and he hasn't worked in the NFL since. Like, what kind of decision is that? Okay, so realize the Jets are an absolute clown show. They have been a clown show for a long time, and now I want to think they've turned the corner, but then you look at people like Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, I go, I just feel bad for you, man, because that's the way it is. So to be fair to Darnold, he was not put in a position to succeed because the Jets have been so bad for so long, and they really they can't get out of their own way, because there's no way you should be 10 years and into your fourth rebuild, all right? Playoffs in the NFL. They haven't been there in 10 years. My entire 40s, the Jets couldn't get to the playoffs. So would Sam Darnold be a different guy if he actually had better coaching the beginning of his NFL career? Yeah, he would be better. Maybe he's this guy out of the gate. Maybe he can throw 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, because that's kind of what he's going to wind up doing this year. It's kind of what he's on. That's not 35, 40 touchdowns and suddenly he's rewriting record books and throwing for, you know, 4,500, 5,000 yards, but he certainly could have been acceptable enough with many other teams and many other situations. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being acceptable and being a franchise guy, but had he been with a better team that actually knew what they were doing and didn't change their mind on things every 5 minutes and make hiring decisions that were incredibly strange. I mean, you let Charlie Casserly say, hey, guess what? I want you to hire Mike McCagnan as GM. The guy's on any else's radar. I like Mike McCagnan. He worked for me. I like him. Hire him. And they had to get rid of him because he was awful. I mean, really, these are the decisions the Jets make, right? So just, yes, yeah. Yeah, so I will give you that. The Jets are awful. From every bit of decision making they could possibly make, they do. You know, if there was a room in a house and you told the Jets, listen, all these other rooms in the house are good, right? Any other room you want to go into is great. You go into that room, it's a bunch of TV sets. You know, you can watch whatever you want. You go into that room, it's a bar that you can make any drink you want. You go in that room, there is a big chef who's in there. Wolfgang Puck is making food. Guy Fieri and Antonio LaFaso are making food for everybody. You want to go in that room over there, it's the most comfortable bed you could possibly go into, right? You have all these choices. But if you go into this room, things are going to be really bad. So just don't go into that room, okay? And then you leave, right? And you come back later, you check all the other rooms, you open the door to the chef's room, and Antonio LaFaso is saying, where is everybody? And Guy Fieri is saying, I don't know. Hey, you want to play guys' grocery games? All right, not in there. You go into the room with the bed in it? Nope, no one's sleeping in there. You go with the TVs on it? Nope, TVs aren't on. Everything's even unplugged. Where are the Jets? And then you open the room that they said not to go in, and not only are the Jets in that room, they got their clothes all over the floor, they got stuff, they got the window open, they're playing music and singing songs. That's the Jets. That's the Jets in one analogy about a house with great rooms except for one bad one.
You okay?
No, I'm not okay. I'm not okay because
let me extend upon this after you've hobbled Sam Darnold. If you missed the misery reference, you got to go back. You got to listen to the whole show. It was absolute brilliance because now I'm going to bring you lyrical genius from 2021. Well, good for you. I guess you're getting everything you want. You bought a new car and your career is really taking off. It's like we never even happened. Baby, what the blank is up with that? That's the Jets and their love letter and angst when it comes to Sam Darnold. Look, we talk about it all the time. You can't get behind and down and distant, right? With the Jets, it's like you have the delay of game penalty before first down. So it's now first and 15. And you're climbing out. So for Sam Darnold, we don't know what he is, what he can be, because he needs to be rebuilt from the ground up because of the hatchet job that your Jets franchise did upon him. That's right. And I'm not saying he's going to go on to be some top five, top 10 quarterback, but quite clearly, operational efficiency was not in the hallways of the Jets. That was not showing up in any of their manuals. So he scores, right? That nice nifty little play fake to McCaffrey, and he goes in. McCaffrey, when he got hurt, I don't know if you've seen the replay a couple times. Looks like he was doing a Judy Garland click my heels going down the yellow brick road move when he actually pulled the hamstring and then eventually left. It's really kind of odd. But 304 yards passing and now back out to the Panthers faithful for a post-game interview, smiling, and he's happy as hell to go back to Olivia Rodrigo there for a moment. DJ Moore with a big game, couple of misses for him as well. They had some big plays left out there. Chuba Hubbard ran well in the second half. It's a work in progress. But you did your diatribe about the Jets. And Ralph Ervin threw this up as a theoretical. What if you could have kept Sam now and drafted somebody else in that lofty position this year? Now
it doesn't matter.
Sam,
they
would still stink. Games, would you go back?
They would still stink. They would. It doesn't matter who you could have drafted. Tom Brady again, and it would be, boy, this Brady guy stinks. He can't throw the football at all. He can't make any good decisions. He threw four picks in that first game. No, look, Sam Darnold, like I said, this is who Darnold is, right? Sam Darnold's not somebody that is suddenly going to be an absolute superstar. He is a functional quarterback that will throw for 20 to 25 touchdowns this season, 10 or 12 interceptions, 35 to 3,800 yards, right? That's kind of middle of the pack for what you want out of a quarterback. And if you're a talented team and you're the Panthers and you have a pretty good defensive line and Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, which is the really big deal, you got a couple of wide receivers that can get some space, throw the football to, and Moore and Anderson, hey, then you know what? You can win some games. You can be that team that, hey, we're going to challenge here a little bit for the division title. Eventually, you're going to start playing better teams. You're going to come back to earth a little bit. But, that's where Sam Darnold would be. If he was drafted if the Jets didn't take him and the Browns took him, that's kind of who he would be. He would be that guy. Can you do better? Yeah. Can you do worse? Yeah. So are you okay enough at quarterback with this guy? For now, eventually I want a guy that can push the ball down the field and make everybody around us better. That's the kind of quarterback I want. Okay. But Darnold's just like a lot of other guys who are functional and passable. That's who he is in the NFL. And that's who he would be if he was drafted by a team that knew what the hell they were doing. But clearly the Jets never know what they're doing. Again, all you need to know is the offensive coordinator was out of football for almost a decade. And he hasn't worked in the NFL since that 1 year as offensive coordinator. That's the guy you said, he's in charge. He's the guy we're going to put in charge of our quarterback. That's all you need to know. That's the Jets in one story. I mean, like the 12-year-old kid last night. Here's one play that typifies the Jets. That's the Jets in one story. And I can give you many stories about that. But that's where Sam Darnold would be. He'd be exactly where he is right now. And the good news for him is that he's young enough. You know, he's still, you know, when you're 23, 24, a lot of guys just come into the league this way. You know, Darnold was a younger guy coming in. And so he's like, okay, I feel like I'm starting over. Like those 3 years he had with the Jets, like they're never going to remember those. Like those are going to be 3 years like, I don't remember those. Remember that? Not at all. I actually went to a hypnotist and he took it completely out of my mind. So I don't remember any of that time I was there in New York. All I remember is right here with the Panthers as hey, things are okay. And I'm a quarterback that they actually like a little bit right now. Oh, that's where he would be.
It's important stuff, though. But you realize you've got to deprogram him. All right, this is go in and do everything you can. Where's the little flashy thing from Men in Black to forget ghosts and all the other problems that were rolling on there? Because the guy I watched tonight, for the most part, pretty good decision-making, pretty good at getting the ball out. The offensive line's working through some stuff, and they lost some defensive players. The injuries to Horn and Burris are actually concerning when you get into the tougher part of the schedule. Yes, I have to acknowledge that there are tougher games ahead, but you know what? For the moment, you beat who's on the schedule, you kick their ass, and you move on. And tonight, 24-9, you covered. You covered the number, and you gave back to your supporters. That's the biggest thing Sam Darnold did tonight. Not only did he win a game to go to 3-0 and send the Houston Texans and Davis Mills to a defeat, that guy's going to be in the ice tub, because if you saw some of the shots, America, that he took in the second half, that guy got worked to the ground repeatedly, and I'm feeling bad for what he had to endure. But the Panthers move on. Succeed and proceed. Take that victory, and if you cashed a ticket, do some good with it.
You know, and here's the thing about the Panthers is now they're going to be in the playoff chase for the entire season, right?
Yeah,
look, starting 3-0 is great, but the entire NFC East stinks, right? The entire NFC East stinks. The entire NFC North stinks. So there's two divisions where everybody stinks.
How dare you?
In the NFC South, you have two good teams. You have Carolina and Tampa Bay. But then you have four teams that could all be really good in the NFC West. Now, logic and math is going to tell you one of those teams isn't going to wind up being. Somebody's got to be in last place, right? But so far, the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, they could have been 2-0, but they blew it last week. You could add four 2-0 teams, but eventually you're going to see that. So you're talking about an extra year with an extra wild card, and okay, so Carolina, Tampa, and the teams in the West, that's really who you're fighting with, because everybody else stinks. And it's going to be the Sam Darnold redemption story all season long. And of course he's going to take the high road and say, no, I got nothing but good memories, I got great teammates there, I got blah, 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 blah. That's all we're going to get all the way. But are the Panthers legit? Yeah, they're a team that can contend for a playoff spot all through the season, because they have a good team, right? Again, because I'm
week
fair
four
on this,
buddy. Week
right?
four, you know who they got?
The Panthers in week four. Don't tell me. Like, see, if they play the Jaguars, I'm going to be really mad.
No, they have the Cowboys next week. If
they
take down the Cowboys in Dallas, come on, let's go.
Oh, Sam. But look, that's why I've said, and I said it in the beginning, that because look, if I'm gonna tell you Sam Darnold, the reality of it, it doesn't jibe with your timeline of Sam's great. No, but. This is a team that was a great landing spot for any quarterback in the NFL because they have these weapons. I mean, it's a thing to say, oh, I got Christian McCaffrey, who may be the best running back in the NFL. Okay, I got a couple of wide receivers. I got a good defensive line. Great. Yeah, they lost a couple of defensive backs tonight. They're going to have to kind of find their way through it, and hopefully Christian McCaffrey is healthy. But this is not a Panthers team that was awful. That was, hey, we're starting over, and we're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with Sam Darnold. No, this is, hey, we're pretty good. We just need a guy to come in and not stink and be able to push the ball downfield a little bit. That's all. That's all they need, and that's kind of what Sam Darnold gave him. That's what he. Okay, this is who I am. This is what I can do. All right, and so far so good for Carolina.
3-0, baby. Sam.
He was actually asked about the Jets in his post-game interview he just did on NFL Network. And his answer to the question, hey, they asked him about the Jets, and he said, quote, I don't want to talk too much about New York. To be honest with you, that's in the past for me. I mean, what a great moment this is for Sam Darnold. What a wonderful moment this is for him going, oh, New York, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I'm 3-0 here in Carolina, man. Enjoy it, because this could be as good as it gets, right? It's going to get a little bit more difficult for the Carolina Panthers from here on out. They're going to have to actually play teams that have wins, that have actually won games. So things are going to be a little bit more difficult. So maybe this is as good as it gets for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe that this is the moment. National television, Thursday night, Sam Darnold's 3-0. He's over 275 yards passing in all three games. They're 3-0. He's the toast of the town. Everybody, maybe this is the high point. This is as good as it gets. Maybe this is that moment that you think it's going to continue on, but this is really it. And from here on, it's all downhill. Maybe there's that.
Other than saying, hey, New York's in my past, the best way he could have ended his post-game interview is to stand up for all the faithful and yell, North Carolina, come on, raise up, this one's for who? And see how much of a response you get. There you go, Sam. Own the night, 3-0. I'll tell you.
And here's the down part, right, with being that. Is you went through the schedule. They play the Cowboys, right? This would be a tough one on the road, Cowboys. Then they have the Eagles, who stink. The Vikings, who stink. The Giants, who really stink. And then the Falcons, who absolute. So they could be getting out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They could be 7-1 out of the first 8 games.
Thinking about that. See, now that terrifies you. That absolutely terrifies you. Because on the other side, because look, that's going to be the back of all the fish wraps buried alongside whatever the evaluation is of Zach Wilson's interception tally.
Mm. Man. Twitter at How About a Fresca.
This one's for you.
Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen. I just ride the lightning every single night here on the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly, so be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So we'll have more in the NFL coming up in a few minutes, but tomorrow morning, the Ryder Cup begins. And it's a really big deal. The United States is, look, you hear them talk about it, how badly they want to win the Ryder Cup. And for a sport that still has been wondering, what do we do without Tiger Woods? I'm pretty sure that question has been answered, right? They've been looking for who's the next star that's going to take the mantle, right? Because Tiger shows up, and all right, look how great he was. Now he's not winning as much. Who knows when he's going to golf again? Rory McIlroy's the guy. No, Jordan Spieth is the guy. No, he's not. They have exactly what they need, and it's right in front of their faces. They don't need one guy to come and win because no one's ever going to win like Tiger did. Tiger took success in the PGA Tour to a whole new level. He won every 3 weeks, right? No one can win like that. That's why, for my money, I take him over Jack Nicklaus because no one could win like that. Jack Nicklaus couldn't win like that. If he won two events in a year, that was a great year for Jack. Tiger would sometimes have two wins in a month, and that's an okay month for him. But what they have right now is what they need. They need Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and their rivalry and continue to feed it. Because who makes headlines in golf? The two of them, right? Because they hate each other. Because they can't stand each other. What's been a big story that has cut through the gotten attention over the past couple of months? Their dislike and contempt of each other when one of them talks about the other, when one of them just talks about anything, right? Brooks Koepka today had big headlines because he had a big Ryder Cup Week Sucks interview that he did that people are mad at him about. These two people, this is lightning for the PGA Tour. This is what they have to continue to promote. These two players and their rivalry. It's like what I said earlier in the year. Baseball shouldn't worry about promoting their stars and who's going to be a next big star. Promote the rivalries because people are into Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers, Padres, and Dodgers, Giants. So that's what you got to promote because sometimes players are going to be good and sometimes they're not. But you can promote rivalries. And yes, everybody is into that. There's no golf headlines this year anybody has had to pay attention to that don't involve Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. They're teammates. They're not going to play together. But this is what golf has to push. And then you'll get your new Tiger Woods.
I like the way the cut of your jib. I'd be remiss if I didn't send some good thoughts out to our guy Tom Felton, collapsed and had to be attended to by medical personnel, playing in some pro-am. You know him better as Draco Malfoy. So
yeah,
good thoughts
scary
to him.
Story today.
Scary stuff. A guy that is it more embracing some of the celebrity at this point, doing more, interviews and, pop-up things and whatever as the anniversaries are there. But, that's a scary story to start your week. But to your point, yeah, where there are personalities, where they are willing to do WWE-inspired microphone shoot interviews, shove them, right? Good job by Rory McIlroy and the others of signing hats and flipping them to the folks in Wisconsin. Brilliant move. Right. Great PR. Grow the sport. Embrace the fans that are back and thank them for coming out. It's all good stuff. Starts at 5 a.m. So I'm sure I'll be up and rolling. What do you got? You got Thomas and Spieth going and we'll have Rahm out there with Sergio Garcia. So let's go. Let's get after it. Are we going to bet it? How do we bet?
Oh, there you go. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, always looking for a way to make. Can I bet that they have a fist fight at some point in the next 3 days? I want to bet that they're
pretty big odds, I'm sure.
Above a fist fight. During
if they're
the
big enough, maybe they'd fix it. Yeah.
Big stories out of the NFL coming up next. Both Sam Darnold and Tom Brady. Fox.